morning. It's always my pleasure to fill this pulpit for you and share God's word with you. It's even more of a pleasure this morning as I have my daughters in attendance, so I appreciate that. I'm going to talk this morning. If you remember last time I was up here, we talked about the heart being the center of our personality. We talked about the hardness of the heart coming from sin, continued sin, unrepentant sin. This morning, I want to talk about hard-headed. Because as I did this, originally I'd set a blog up with hard-headed first and hard-hearted second, because one leads to the other. So this morning, I kind of did things a little bit backwards, but this morning I want to talk about hard-headed. And I thought, I told Eddie last night what we were going to do it on, and he goes, "Well, you shouldn't have any problem with that." And I said to him, I said, "No, can you give me an outline?" Definition of hard-headed, just real simply, stubborn. It's one who's set in his ways. Doesn't want any change. But at the same time, it will change if shown a better way to do things. Difficult? Yes. But it can be done. We look at some of the things in the Bible, and I'm just going to generalize here for a second before we go to some verses, but if you look at Exodus, the difficulties that God not only had with Moses, but that Moses had with Pharaoh. And you look at the hard-headedness that Pharaoh had. He'd tell Moses one thing and turn right around and keep doing what he was doing. He couldn't be convinced until finally one day he saw that he had to change. But that hard-headedness, that stubbornness that was with him. And you know, you can reread that story if you would like. It's in Exodus. But it did him no good, and it did his nation no good to stand ground like that against God. We look at the nation of Israel when they came out of Egyptian captivity and headed to the promised land out through this desert. All was good for a while. And then they would get to the point where they would think they were bigger than God. They'd do things their own way and turn their back on God. The stubbornness that was displayed by them. And they were God's chosen people, remember? And still they had a hard-headedness towards God. They rebelled against God over and over and over out in that desert, turning away from his love, turning away from his perfection, protection. That's what they did, all from a hard heart, hard head. Now, stop right there for a minute, because if you can imagine, those of you that can, you know, somewhat remember what we talked about with the hardness of the heart. Hard-headed, you never change that way. You're mired in sin, leads to a hard heart, which leads to being completely separated from God. So we want to be a little careful how we look at things, how we do things. How firm do we want to stand that ground? And I speak for myself, I'm probably for most everybody else. At times we are hard-headed. We want it our way. We stand our ground and say, no. But then all of a sudden somebody will say, well, maybe we ought to do it this way. If you're listening, you might think that's a pretty good idea. Only then can you change that hard-headed attitude. I want to go to Deuteronomy. We're going to start there and then we're going to go into the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 9. This speaks of some of this rebellion that the Israelites had. And I want to start with verse 11. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here. Don't procrastinate. Don't take your time. Go quickly. Why? Because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have acted corruptly. God knew this. He's telling them, get down off this mountain and do it quickly. They have quickly, again that word quickly, turned aside from the way in which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded image. They're turning away from me. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Stubborn. Want to do things their own way. He says in verse 14, let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire. And the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, you the Israelites, had made for yourselves a molded calf. You see the exasperation here? What have you done? And God just told me up on the mountain, this is what was going on. I get an idea here that Moses didn't really maybe believe what God had to say to him with what he's saying here. Because he said, you made for yourselves a molded calf? You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord has commanded you. Just while I was up on the mountain, this all transpired. Quickly. Again, that word is used. We look at that passage. God's anger got so great that he had considered destroying the people. And why had he done that? Because they were stubborn and they were stiff-necked and their ways were not right. Hard-headed. Deuteronomy 21. Starting with verse 18. This is what they did in Old Testament times, okay? This was demanded of them. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, and will not heed them. Okay? So we got a son go do things his own way. Hard hit. Won't listen to mom, won't listen to dad. They're chasing him. They won't heed him. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. Okay? You got to bring him to the elders. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this is what mom and dad are supposed to say, this son of ours is stubborn, he's rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of this city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's what they did in the Old Testament. It says here that you must purge that evil from among you. Get rid of it. Mom and dad took their son and said, look, we can't do anything with this kid. The elders stoned him. He was stubborn. The defiance of God. The defiance of God's authority. Those are all very serious offenses. One, an offense that can spread like poison throughout a church, throughout a congregation, throughout a community, as we're seeing today throughout a country and a world. It goes on and on and on with hard-headedness, with defiance, with stubbornness, with having to have things our own way, with having to do things our own way. We looked in class this morning at several different verses. And when we look, God says he won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's always there for us. Why do we get hard-headed? Why do we think we can do things on our own? to say, well, it's human nature is an excuse. That is not a reason. Yes, we are all humans. Yes, we all do sin. Yes, we all fall short. We all know that. But don't let that become an excuse to be that way. Just because the Bible says we're going to be that way. Paul says, what, does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. Mark 3. Mark 3 started with verse 1. And he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. They're looking for something. So he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Can we do anything like that on the Sabbath? They kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by their hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Now we're going to see who they were. Then the Pharisees went out immediately, plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. People, they were looking for an excuse to get rid of Jesus. Their excuse was he healed on the Sabbath. Their hard-headed attitude, their stubbornness about this, is putting them in trouble with God. They're putting them in trouble to the point that they want to find a way to destroy Jesus. And now they think they found a reason because he healed on the Sabbath. Mark 7. Mark 7, starting with verse 51. Yeah, there's nothing there.
No,
all right, hang with me a second. Look back at my notes and see what I did wrong here. How about Acts? Let's go to Acts 7. Up until that point, I had only been wrong once in my life, and that's when I thought I was. Have we got verse 51 in Acts?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Acts 7, starting at verse 51. He starts it off right here. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. That means that God's word has not penetrated you. And heart and ears. You're not listening. We talked last time, you remember, about how you need to listen and how you need to understand. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, and whom you now have become betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by direction of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they were gnashed at him with their teeth. That's Stephen addressing the Sanhedrin. You tell me, which of the prophets didn't your fathers persecute? You tell me, They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, and who you now have become the betrayers and murderers of. Why do you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did? All kinds of questions here Stephen had when he gave his speech in the Sanhedrin. Stiff-necked, he called it. Uncircumcised in the heart, you have no feeling. And ears, you won't listen. But the same going on today. People are not pricked in their heart. They won't let their heart be a part of their personality towards God. The ears, they want to listen to things that tickle them, things that make them feel good, instead of things that are going to keep them in the pathway for salvation. Acts 19. Acts 19, starting verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't understand what's happening. And then he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized? Are we not baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And we come up anew, the Holy Spirit enters us?" Okay, we all understand that. But it said here, he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." There was confusion in here. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, Jesus, who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." That's who you're to believe on. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now all the men were about 12 in all. He went into the synagogue, he spoke boldly." There's that big word, boldly. Okay? With effect. Convicted. He spoke boldly. For how long? 3 months. Reasoning. And persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. 3 months he did this. And then verse 9 says, "But when some were hardened and did not believe," hardness of heart, hardness of ears, won't pay attention, don't think they need it, do things our own way, whatever you want to say. "But when they were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way Jesus before the multitude," they not only were listening, they were speaking evil of him. "He departed from them, he withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus." And this continued for 2 more years. Paul took the disciples and left. "I've had enough. I've done this for 3 months. You won't listen. Your hearts won't allow it. And not only are you not listening, you're teaching against." You know, we all talk about Paul dusting the hand, dust off his feet and moving on. Sometimes you have to do that. He tried for 3 months to get these people to listen and reason. It wasn't happening. So he said, "All right, come on, disciples, we're out of here. We're done." He took them and he left. Romans 1. We'll end here. Starting at verse 27. into chapter 2. Paul to the church in Rome. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and that homosexuality, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to remember about all this stuff, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. All right, go ahead. You know, we've talked about, we all have the ability to make choices. We can make good choices, we can make bad choices. Just be aware of the consequence. These people wouldn't change their ways. They're stubborn, they're hard-headed. So God gave them over to a debased mind, a crooked mind, a bad mind, sinful mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Go ahead, he says. Being filled with unrighteousness, being filled with sexual immorality, being wicked, being covetous, being malicious, being full of envy and murder and strife and deceit, evil-minded, whisperers, gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, all these things that Paul just talked about, are deserving of death. That's a spiritual death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They're not only doing these things, they're okay with somebody else doing it. Therefore, like a lot of Paul's words, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. How can I judge someone if I got the same stuff going on in my life? You think God doesn't know both hearts, both minds? How's that work? But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. As you do, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? You think you're going to escape that judgment? Yeah, head shaking, no. It ain't happening. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So which way do you want it? Do you want to do all these things that are evil and all these things that I just talked about? And you're going to do all those things and you're going to tell me that you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, God's long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? How does that work? And in verse 5 he says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God. That's where hard-headedness will lead us. We need to do what God asked for us. We talked in class, we help God, our faith in God, God will help us get through the things that we need to get through. But without a partnership, it doesn't work. You're going to do all this evil stuff, it isn't going to work. If you despise the riches of God, his forbearance and his long suffering, do all these other things, it isn't going to work. Hard-headed and hard-hearted, the two lessons intertwine. This lesson is yours. We always issue an invitation at this time. If there are those that have not turned their life over to God, through baptism if they've not been buried in water and resurrected new. We give this opportunity at this time to make things right. Ask for repentance. Be forgiven. Live righteous afterwards. We also have this opportunity for those that might need the prayers of this congregation for whatever situation you might have in your life. We know that prayers work. So if you have a need, stand, let it be made known as any leads to sin.